Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents the Betches Brides Podcast, a show for the wedding obsessed and the brides who are stressed, because after all, it's only one day of your life.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Betches Brides. I'm Nicole Pellegrino.
And I'm Jordana Abraham, and we are back answering more of your questions. You guys have really good questions.
Really good.
If you guys like these questions, if you want any advice from me and Nicole, please email brides@betches.com. And if you want, you should definitely, I'm not sure if you are, but if you aren't, you should already be following the @BetchesBrides Instagram. There's so much useful stuff on there. And it's also like peppered in with just like really entertaining, funny stuff to take the edge off. I'm sure a lot of you have seen Nicole's TikToks. I love them. They're amazing. So if you want a mix of like educational, interesting shit about getting married, but also like some funny stuff, Betches Brides, I think there's no one who's doing it like you are, Nicole. Nicole runs that account.
You need, it's a package deal. You need the podcast and the Instagram together. Oftentimes there's themes that play out on both and inside jokes that we have with the audience that we'll mention on here that you have to be following the Instagram account to really know about. And also subscribe to our newsletter. Really just do that. It's betches.co/brides newsletter. Because that's even a further, if you really want to be a Betches Bride with us, which you all are, if you're listening to this, you are, but if you really want to be, subscribe to that newsletter too, but at least give our Instagram a follow because we put a lot of work into it.
Definitely. Nicole, are you, any updates with your wedding planning?
You know, we'll talk about it as we get into our first email and whatnot. It's, I am getting so... How do I word this without demotivating the audience even more than they already are? It's so the uncertainty. I'm like setting these like vague dates in the future for my pre-wedding events, like my bridal shower and my bachelorette. We're looking at like June for the bridal, a small bridal shower, and then bachelorette. Don't even get me started. We'll talk about that more in email number two, since that's kind of about bachelorettes. But so I'm definitely like. It's always top of mind. I'm always kind of planning things, but I'm moving slowly still. And again, we know, most of my stuff is already planned. The bigger things, like since I did postpone. But yeah, I mean, I've started to look at registry stuff, build that out a little bit more. I've been doing things day by day. I still have yet to send out my change the dates via online. I just have to finish collecting some people's emails.
It's okay. At least there's not like a huge turnaround.
Yeah, exactly. It's not. Yeah. You know right. I mean? When I have the emails, I'm clicking send and they'll be out. What about you? Any new updates?
It's going well. I just saw that article yesterday or today about Fauci saying like April's going to be open season. It's making me pretty optimistic.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Open season for vaccines, that is, in terms of like everyone who wants one is going to be like able to
at least know when like any, they'll get it.
You don't have to have like any pre-existing conditions or like age to get it by then. He is saying that he's optimistic that like that will be the case in April, which I think is really good news, especially for like people in those summer fall weddings. So I'm excited. It's looking up. And I'm debating going down for a planning visit, but I'd like to see how the vaccine like comes along. But you know what, my wedding's in November, so I've got a little bit of time to kind of like figure it out. But all my vendors are like pretty much booked. I'm still like on the fence about my videographer, but I'm feeling like I'm gonna pull the trigger. Just because, like, I have that sense of, like, what if I don't get it, then, like, I might regret it. And, like, if I do get it, the only thing I would regret is, like, spending the money, which, like, sucks. But, like, I think it'll bother me more if I, like, want the footage and I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get, like, some elaborate video thing. I want, like, a trailer.
Yeah. Like a little preview, like a little, like a little movie trailer of your wedding. I love that.
Yeah, I love those. Whenever I see them, I think they're so great. So that's my thought on that. And I'll let you know if I decide to like fully pull the trigger, but I'm definitely like leaning towards it now.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we talked about that on a past episode, videographer, no. But yeah, let's get into today's. So today we are talking about postponing again. We've gotten so many questions lately about people who, and like you said, we are optimistic. We're trying to stay optimistic, but we've gotten these questions about people who have postponed once already, aka like people like me. And now these weddings that are falling in like March, April, May, even June, July, even August, people are like, am I going to have to postpone again? Like, should I postpone again? So people are just, you know, that uncertainty. And it's kind of a huge buzzkill because you don't want to have to postpone twice. Postponing is so annoying. It's like a lot of date figuring out. It's in many cases money. It's more money down, more money that you might not get back down. Like, it's just an annoying process. So I feel for
it's just
everyone.
Like a hassle, I would imagine.
Yes. It really is.
I'd imagine it's also just like a hassle, just making sure everything aligns and like all the vendors are free and that they can all do the same day and that like everything comes together and the guests that you wanted to have, like your most important guests, are they free? Like, you know what I mean?
Yep. I mean, it really is. And it's so rare when you can find all your vendors are free on your new postponed goal date. It's like you have to accept the fact that you might have to lose a vendor or two because dates never align perfectly. Let's go ahead and get into our first email about this because we have a lot of good advice for this one.
All right. So she writes, "Hi, I've been driving myself crazy about this wedding and whether or not we should postpone again. Our original wedding was supposed to be September 26th, 2021. Instead, we had a mini money, so we are already married and we pushed the big reception to May 23rd, 2021. I think she means she wrote that her original wedding was supposed to be September 26, 2021, but I assume she means 2020. We have already made the decision to cut our guest list from 165 to 85 because we realized we do not want to spend thousands more on this wedding. We live in New York, and effective March 15th, weddings are allowed to have 150 people, but everyone on site must be tested and the wedding must be approved by the local health department. At first, I was so excited about this news, but after a few days of thinking about it, I'm wondering if it's even reasonable. I know I will just be worried about whether everyone got tested in time to get their results the week before the wedding. With all that said, should I postpone to September 26th, 2021? We aren't thrilled about dragging this out again, but I will be so upset if I spend all this time trying to replan everything for May and then have to move it anyway. What are your thoughts?"
Lots of thoughts about this.
What do you think?
So it's funny because when this news was announced on January 29th, I believe, about the New York weddings, she mentions that specifically. And we'll get broader and not just talk about New York here, guys. But when this news was announced, I feel like there was a big buzz of positivity. A lot of our audience is New York-based. We were getting DMs. People were so excited. And then all of a sudden, people were like, oh, wait. This news about Cuomo announced this news about allowing 150 people at 50% venue capacity, but then there's these other caveats, like you've got to get it approved by the local health department. Everyone must be rapid tested. I read somewhere that like in many cases they were saying the couples had to supply those rapid testing, and that can cost like on-site testing can cost up to like $7,500 for everybody. And there's all these extra things with like not a ton of guidance. So a lot of vendors were like frustrated and everybody's just still confused. And
And you probably like can't tell how easily it's going to be able to be rolled out.
Right.
Like March 15th is like the day it starts. So like, how do you know how how, you know what I mean? I'm sure there'll be like some growing pains with figuring out how to deal with it. And it's tough. I can imagine if like, let's say you had like an April or May wedding, where you'd be like, I don't know how easy this is going to be. You're unsure, right?
Right. Well, and a lot of people like her, it looks like this listener, are saying that they still might not feel that comfortable having, even if you are allowed to have a 150-person wedding at that point, we might not feel comfortable doing that. A lot of couples are feeling that way still. So, and then there's the on top of layer, she said, the added layer, she's saying that she doesn't want to have to like drag this out further and doesn't want to have to postpone again, which makes total sense. So I was doing some research and just some thinking myself, because I did have to postpone, and thinking about the factors to consider when you're in this position. So one thing, I think one of the biggest things, were you already married? She
seems like yes in her
case. Says yes. Yeah. So she's already married. And in my head at first, I'm like, well, then why would you care about postponing? Just don't have, you're already married. Like, just don't have a wedding. But then I was like, oh,
well,
wait.
Maybe she wants to have a kid.
Yeah. Well, that's another factor. That's the thing. Like, a lot of people want to get this show on the road and move on with their lives. And
but along, I've heard of people who were like, already got married legally. Mm-hmm. They postponed their wedding. They're going to have a baby, and they're going to have a baby at their wedding.
Yeah. At their reception, at their celebration.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right. Hey, no
Which
rules.
Is also kind of cool.
I love that. Yeah. I would love that my kid could be present at like my celebration. I don't know. Even if they're a baby and can't remember.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's like a whole bunch of other stuff involved in that. It's like, oh, like if I'm giving birth and I have a new baby, do I want to be like planning this wedding? Is it going to be, I'm sure there's a lot of stress that comes along with that. Part two. So I get why she'd be like, I'd rather get this done with first.
But the big thing is, I think why a lot of couples are doing this, like, we got married already, but we're still having this reception, is because they can't get their deposits back, their non-refundable deposits from venue vendors. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you know, I wanted to get married. We didn't want to put off the marriage, so we did that. But now we're still having this celebration because why not put our deposits to good use? Otherwise, we're just eating a bunch of costs. And so that's just a tricky situation, because a lot of these people are like her, are already married. And then they're like, what do we do about this reception that keeps getting prolonged and pushed back? Mm. But I would think about that. Think it, like, talk to your vendors, see if like you might be able to get deposits back and stuff. And then also, like, a big thing.
Well, she still wants to have it, it sounds like, regardless. Like, it doesn't seem like she's like trying to cancel. She's like, should I do it now and be a little more stressed about it, or should I like postpone it again?
Right.
But also, like, she wants to postpone it to September, which I don't necessarily, I mean, like, you're a September bride. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, I think weddings will be happening by then. But it's also like not like a guarantee.
Right.
So it's kind of like, if I were her and I was going to postpone again, I would almost postpone like even further.
Same. For us. I would do early 2022
safety. Yeah.
I would do that.
But I also get not wanting to do that. I understand like the stress of
that's not, the thing.
What were your other things that you think you should consider?
I think that's, well, that was one of my things. It's like the mental and emotional state of dragging it out. Like for her and many others in particular, if you don't want to have to drag it out further, if you're like, why am I pushing off for a, why am I like pushing off other things that I want to do in my life for this party that I keep postponing? I would recommend to her, honestly, just keep to like cut down to like 85 or less or 50 people. And if she feels comfortable, then like just have her wedding on what was supposed to be, let me see, on May 23rd. Yeah, I would recommend that. Like,
are you allowed, are there different rules for under 50 people?
I think you still have to put precautions in place. And that was another factor on the list of factors, the COVID precautions. Like, I think you do, for any amount of people, I think you still should want to and have to put in place like masks, seating restrictions, like seating distance, like putting people sitting distance away from each other, making people get tested and or asking people if they have the vaccine, stuff like that. Like, so that's another thing. Like, would she be okay having a wedding where she knows there's going to have to be COVID restrictions and health restrictions in place?
Yeah, I agree. I think those are all like very important things to consider. And it's like, we can't tell you like postpone or don't postpone, because we don't know, right. Like, we don't know you. We don't know like how that will affect you. Like, we don't know how much stress it was planning this wedding. Also, like, again, if you plan a September wedding, like there's a chance that you could maybe have to postpone again if you still want that number of people, or there, or you'd still have to do the same things that you're doing now. So it's like, you could be potentially postponing again. I would just like, you know yourself, I think, better than anyone else, I would imagine. So I think it's important to just think through the various scenarios and how you will feel about them. Try to anticipate your own reactions to, like,
totally.
Okay, if I have to do this, will I be able to, like, kind of like deal with having to put these precautions in place and still be okay and excited about the wedding? Or will it ruin the whole thing for me? If I postpone, like, is that going to cost me a lot more stress? Like, if I have to postpone again, even after that, like, what is that? Like, what is that going to do to my mental state? How does my fiance fit into that? If I have to cut people, like, will that make it easy? Like, I think, like, those are, like you said, like, all those are all really important
factors
things to consider. And only she can really answer that.
Right. And a lot, you know, a big one to think about too is, like, think about your guests right now, because a lot of people right now, the sooner people are having like right now, like the next couple months, if you're having a wedding, you have to be okay with the fact that your guests, many of them might say no, and that's okay. Like, you, and you also have to think about travel restrictions. Like, for this summer, hopefully people will be able to safely travel a little more, but we don't know, like, will travel restrictions be in place still and whatnot. And I think there's just so many of those things to think about, like, that, like you said, the perfect thing is, like, you have to think about will your reaction, your personal reaction, and if you'll be okay with the way things will be.
Yeah. And I think on the bright side, it's like, I would imagine that, like, the people who are closest to you or who are highest risk will be vaccinated by then. So if, I mean, I think their protocols are probably going to be annoying and, like, just, like, sort of a necessary evil, but I do feel like there's a little more comfort as opposed to, like, a wedding that was, like, anytime last year that, like, I would say most of the, like, my dad got the vaccine. He's over 65. So that was, like, a big thing for me. And, like, I think, like, you kind of have to think about that too. Like, well, those are the people most important to me that I care. Like, you could always have the wedding, have it still, you could have it almost be, like, even smaller than you thought and just, like, have the most important people there to you. Like, I know 85 is, like, not a big number, but it's, I can imagine there's still sort of some room to cut. And I mean, for me, it's kind of like, so my wedding's in November, at the end of November, and, like, I'm feeling good about it. And, like, I've thought about, I mean, the rules are always changing, so it's tough to, like, so one day you feel good, one day you're a little worried. I'm kind of like, I'm going to get married then, and, like, anyone who can make it will be great, and anyone who can't, like, and I guaranteed, like, a very low number, and I'm like, anyone who can't, I understand, but, like, I know myself, I know I'm not going to want to, like, keep planning another wedding in, like, again. So it's, but I can all, I can also see a scenario where there's, I mean, my planner plans so many weddings with people, even in the, like, right now, who are supposed to get married, who are pushing because they just don't feel safe, and they don't, you know, they want to, they have a certain vision and they want to keep it that way. For me, I think I'm a little more flexible in terms of, like, the people that will attend. I feel like there will always be people who I want to attend who can't attend for COVID or for other reasons that aren't even, that have nothing to do with that. Like, even if I pushed, like, I'm sure more of my friends will have kids and be, you know, or be pregnant and all that stuff. So, But so I think it's really just about, like, you knowing yourself and, like, sort of preparing yourself for whatever the situation is, playing it out in your head and saying, like, which one will actually make me happier in the end.
Right. That's the thing. Like, me, I've postponed once. September 4th is the new date. Come hell or high water, I will be married on September 4th. And if I'm allowed to have the people I want there, great. If it's safe to have them there, great. And that's the most, it's less for me about, will I be allowed? It's more for me about, will I feel comfortable having people there? If it's, if the virus is more under control, if we're all vaccinated, great, we'll be there. But I will not be postponing again. I told my wedding planner, like, we're making this happen. If it's three people there, me, Mike, and the priest, then we'll be good. If it's larger people, then great. So yeah, I mean, it's, and that's,
yeah, I mean, your dad got vaccinated, right?
Yeah, he did. Yep. So he'll be there. It'll be me, Mike, my dad. No.
I think a lot of people will be vaccinated by September.
Right. I'm being, like, over-exaggerated.
Hopefully everyone who wants one will be able to get one by then.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, but I think it's good to like go there, go to like worst case scenario in your head, mm-hmm. and then you can like be mentally prepared for it.
Exactly.
And then you can make a more informed decision.
Right, right. I just will not be postponing again for a large party.
That's I feel that. Sure. I mean, I haven't even had to do it.
So yeah, I'm literally sweating after answering that question. Yeah. That question, I know we gave you guys a lot there, a lot of different things, but like that's because truly there is not a right or wrong answer or a way to answer that question. I'm like literally
sweating. Right. It's a very, very personal choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it depends on so many factors that are like very particular to a person and like how they think about those factors, like finances, having friends there, like mm-hmm. your vision, deviation from your vision. Like there's so much to consider that it's such a personal choice.
It really is.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. So Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any six styles. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. There are no parameters. You get access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees. There's no late fees, no damage fees, no fees to pause or cancel. So no big deal if you like lose a button. Uh-oh, I spilled something on it. Or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing all the way up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BRIDES20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BRIDES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code BRIDES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Let's do another email.
Let's do it. Okay, this one's fun. She writes, "So I'm the maid of honor of a now 2021 bride. She had to postpone her December 2020 Tulum wedding. I feel bad that she's had to postpone her big day, don't we all? But as someone footing a lot of the cost of her bachelorette and bridal shower, I've gotten a little annoyed at the destinations. Originally, she wanted to go to Austin for her batch, but moved it to Miami because another one of her friends wanted to do Austin. Not a big deal. I easily redid my itinerary. Then in 2021, I followed up about the batch. She said she's now thinking Toronto. Planning aside, I think she's way out of line asking for this. All of the girls live in California except one in Texas, and I think this is asking way too much. Am I wrong for thinking this? Her resort choice alone is costing me $3,000 just for the room. Plane hasn't been bought nor dress. We're not made of money, and I feel it's inconsiderate of her to ask for a destination bachelorette on top of the destination wedding. Her mom also hasn't offered to pitch in for her bridal shower, so I'm really looking at a lot of money I'm spending on her. I make good money, but I also have bills, student loans, and my own expenses to pay for." So this is a fun one because I just feel like that, even just that last line, this girl sounds like she's, as a maid of honor, already paying for way more than I would expect of my maid of honor.
I would, yeah.
Right?
I mean, we've touched on this in a previous episode where like we weren't aware that like the maid of honor is supposed to pay for the bridal shower, like in everyone I've been to. And I think you had the same thing. And someone actually wrote in being like, if you Google it, like it's the maid of honor that's supposed to like arrange pay for it. I've never experienced that before. It's always been the mother or the mother-in-law or some sort of
combination
or like family relation mm-hmm. of the bride. I agree. She definitely seems like she's going above and beyond. I would never expect anyone to like pay for a party for me personally.
Yeah.
Especially someone my age.
Just for being designated. Yeah. That's like you telling a friend, like, congrats, you're my maid of honor. Now literally pay, like, you're my same age, you're my maid of honor, right. Pay for all of this stuff. And that's an expensive room alone. Her resort choice, I guess, for the wedding is already costing her over $3,000, which is kind of a lot.
Yeah. Like. And I think if you're the maid of honor, she should consult. She should be like running bachelorette destinations by you. I don't think it's like,
right.
I've never seen anyone make like a unilateral decision. Like, okay, I'm as someone who's having a destination wedding, I think I can like speak to the bachelorette thing. So I'm having I've just talked about this before. I'm getting married in Mexico. So I wanted to make my bachelorette like more low key so that people weren't like spending money and traveling twice. So I'm planning on doing something in the Hamptons or Montauk.
Love.
This summer, which I'm excited about. I mean, it's not like the crazy, like I've been there a lot.
Right,
so it's not that wild, but I've been on a lot of girls trips in my life. And I also like just didn't want to, especially with COVID, I didn't really want to make people be like buying plane tickets or having to like travel that way. And like, even if nothing is open, I feel like it would be fun to just like get tested and be in a house with my friends.
You can
more fun
for sure,
right? But even that, I think, will be a little bit expensive, just because like the Hamptons are expensive. So at the bottom of my email that I like had my friends send out, I made sure to have them write like Jordana like totally understands if you like that because she's having a destination wedding. If you were like not able. Or, you know, don't want to spend money on this trip. Like she would rather you come to the wedding if you had to choose one. But if you would like love to come, like we'd love to have you. Like just like a very easy out, because like it is absurd to make people travel multiple times just because you're getting married. And I did it local for that reason. But even again, like even local wise, it's still expensive and kind of annoying. And there is like the pandemic going on. So I feel like you need to give people an out. If you can do whatever you want.
Right.
You would just have to like totally understand that some people would be unwilling or unable or just not want to travel twice, which I think is like totally, totally valid, which is why I was like, I'd rather people come to my wedding.
Right.
What are your thoughts for your bachelorette?
That's really smart. So that's actually one of the many things on my list at this point. I do feel for the bride here in this scenario because it sounds like she's been jumping around different locations, potential locations, and that is literally exactly what I've been doing. Originally, it was like, okay, we had decided on Miami. I then was like on this kick of like, wait, let's do a girls trip in Napa, especially because Florida has been insane during the pandemic and it's not like I'd want to at this point like go out to clubs and bars and stuff. And even this summer, probably won't. So I was like, oh, Napa sounds cool. But then that's super pricey and expensive and flying across the country. And even though my wedding's not a destination, it is a mini destination for a lot of my friends that are like one of my friends lives in Miami. One of them lives in Tel Aviv, Israel. That's in my bridal party. My bridesmaids are coming from all over. So it kind of is a destination for some of them.
Do you expect the bridesmaid who lives in Tel Aviv to be like coming to your bachelorette and your wedding?
She's being a saint and is like, I want to try. I'm going to do everything I can. But I don't even, the state of Israel right now, I don't even know if she's allowed. And I told her, I was like, all I care about is the wedding. Show up on the wedding and like, you do not have to come in for the bridal shower. God, no, you do not have to come in for the bachelorette. But I think she really wants to. And she actually does come home a decent amount when she can. Cause all of her family.
Okay.
But her aside, like
you wouldn't be like mad at her if she couldn't make it.
No, no. A flight from Tel Aviv. Are you kidding? I'm like, no. Don't do that. But yeah, I mean, so at the current moment, looking at things, I'm thinking about doing something more local like the Hamptons. Another thing that for us who are based out of this area, it's like a group of my girlfriends was like, we should do a low-key Hamptons weekend this summer anyways. So I'm like, if we would want to do that this summer anyways, why not make it my bachelorette?
That was my thought also. It's like, it's like pretty easy to get to. It's like low key. It seems
you can
like
do
a
an
pretty,
Airbnb. Right.
Right. But I also think like, okay, let's say the bride is like, I've always dreamed of having the bachelorette in this location. I think that's fine, but you still have to like give people the out. Like I think that you're totally allowed to do whatever you want to do, your most ideal location, but you can't be mad at people for not going or automatically expect them to be able to pay or want to pay for all of that. So I think what she should do, just to give her like, I guess, more straightforward advice, is just to like get on a call with her friend and just be like, I'm so excited for the wedding. I'm so excited for the bridal shower, all this stuff. I did want to bring up just something that was giving me a little bit of stress. And it was like, you can say like, it was a lot of the expenses like surrounding the wedding. Like, do you think it's possible that we can pick maybe like a more affordable option for the bachelorette party? Like, just because I know where everyone's traveling. So I just want to make sure that like everyone's comfortable, and I'm just feeling a little stressed about money and being able to afford everything. So I was, and I think that if you just make it again, like don't say she's being inconsiderate. Don't say like that, like everything is wildly expensive. I think you could just make it about yourself and just be like, would you consider like maybe doing something a little bit lower cost or more local? Or maybe you could do two bachelorette parties, one like kind of just like a fun weekend in the town we live in, and like maybe another one going to wherever you want, and like people can come to wherever.
And this one, it doesn't sound like she was always set on Toronto as her dream destination. Like she even says, she said she's just now thinking Toronto. So if I were her too, if I were the maid of honor writing in, I would also just, like you said, talk to her and tell her your concerns about the price and how it's kind of inconvenient for everybody coming from California and the person from Texas. And then also offer solutions like, look, I've found these more affordable and local locations that are really fun still to do in the US, like Nashville or, I don't know, any other of the fun bachelorette vacations.
And something close to California.
Napa.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, Napa sounds...
No, I think that's a great idea, Nicole.
Yeah.
Your idea is even better, because then you're like, I've already like done this research, and then you could say like, you could almost preemptively be like, I think people would love this. It's like so easy to get to. It'll be so fun. It's like really, it's affordable. Like, and I think if you just keep stressing, like everyone will love that it's affordable, she'll maybe get the hint that like the ones she's suggesting are a little bit too expensive. So I actually forget my advice. I would start with Nicole's, and if she doesn't seem to be, if she doesn't seem to be getting the hint in that way, I think you can have like a more straightforward conversation about how you're not really comfortable spending all this money.
Right. If my maid of honor came to me and like planned a whole nice trip, I don't care if it's in, I don't know where, I don't care if it's in Boise, Idaho, I would probably just say yes and do it, because I don't know why I'm just targeting Boise, Idaho, but I would, just because it's like they did that work for me and it's convenient, and let's do it. It's affordable.
Yeah.
Go ahead. But I'm also an easygoing bride.
And as a bride, you've got to think about your bridesmaids, and like, you've got to think about how your decisions are affecting people. And or you cannot think about that and just be okay with people not coming or doing whatever you want.
Exactly.
So like, either you got to like pick a lane. All right. I'm going to do our last question for our happily ever after section. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. First, I wanted to say I love the Betches Brides podcast, and it's helped me a ton with navigating and planning my micro wedding. Thank you so much. You're welcome. My happily ever after question is one that you probably hear a lot. How do I navigate my partner's family dynamics when they are so dramatically different than mine? My fiance is incredibly close with his parents. He didn't move out until he was 26 and then moved right back in with them a year later. His parents watch his dog for him while he's at work, so he hangs out there in the evenings before he goes home. He spends every Sunday with them and they spend every holiday together. He plans entire weekends to celebrate their birthdays every year. His mail all still gets sent to their house. And even though he's lived in a different nearby city for the last 4 years, he still drives their car and has their address on his license, etc. His parents are so kind and sweet, and I love them. Sorry. But my family is the polar opposite, so I have a hard time understanding and relating to the relationship that he has with his parents. Sometimes it feels a bit smothering to me. My parents are great, but they're not my best friends. I see them once a month, maybe. I moved out when I was 21 and never looked back. I spent the last 10 Christmases and New Year holidays traveling solo, so we don't celebrate each other's birthdays. I recognize that my parental dynamic is probably borderline unhealthy too, so I'm not sure if I can even bring this up with him. I want to continue supporting and encouraging his relationship with his parents, but I also feel like we need some more balance. Is there even such a thing? What do I do? Thanks for any advice you have here. What do you think?
I love this segment because I love a marriage relationship question. Okay, so I think just to break it down bit by bit here, the fiance is incredibly close with his parents, which is a good thing. You want a fiance who's close with their parents. However, this is very close. Like plans entire weekends to celebrate their birthday. Okay, that's fine. The mail's still getting sent to the house, even though he lives on his own. The address is still on their address is still on his license. There's things that he is very close. And personally, I think that would almost be a little bit of a turnoff for me if he were like that kind of dependent on his parents, but that's just me. However, it's also a turn on that he's close to his parents because you want that healthy relationship. I think that she kind of hit the nail on the head though. Like, a little bit of her disdain for this comes out of the fact that her relationship with her parents is so different. And that might be just like a little hard for her and like making her a little jealous of his relationship because it's so close. Let's face it. My parents were divorced.
She doesn't understand it.
Right. And that's the thing, like, as somebody who had divorced parents, like, did I look at Mike's happily married parents sometimes and be like, ugh, that's kind of annoying. Like, I'm jealous. Like, he got that happily married. Like, I get that. I do. But I think she does have a right to talk to him and let him know, like, she thinks that this parental dynamic is a little borderline unhealthy about his. And I think now that they're getting married, we heard about this in our pre-Cana classes last week. Like, now when you're entering into a marriage, it's a whole new relationship with somebody else. You can still have your family traditions and your family relationships with your parents and stuff, but you're entering into a whole new thing where you've got to kind of be an adult and start new traditions and new things with your significant other. So I think like she has every right to just talk to him and kind of say like, hey, lay off your parents a little, like be an adult with me.
Right.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you have the right to ask for whatever you want in a relationship. I definitely agree with what you were saying about like how when you're getting married, you're starting a new family with your own traditions, and like that should be the primary relationship in your life. But what I would do, because like I don't think you want to, like, again, like it's a good thing that he's close to his parents. I'm sure there's some aspects of it that you like. I would not make it about, if you're going to bring something up to him, I would not make it about like you're too close with your family or like your family is smothering you. I would bring up specific examples that actually affect you and work on those parts of it, and don't make it have anything to do with like, this is how close with your family is. So it's not, and like, that's weird. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, if it's working, then it's fine. But like, it sounds like there's some aspects of it that aren't working for you. Is it like the fact that by nature he's close with his parents that's bothering you? I don't think so. I think it's more like, you could say like, fiance, I would love to spend Sunday together mm-hmm. doing this other activity. Like maybe that's the issue, is that like every Sunday he goes to his parents' house and you can't plan anything on Sundays. If that's the issue, make that the issue. Say like, this Sunday I would love to go to X activity or like do this dinner. And if he's like, no, like that's my family day, I think then you can segue into off. That conversation that we were just talking about, how like, I want to feel like I'm like the primary relationship in your life. And while I would love to go to your parents on Sundays on occasion, like that doesn't work for me. If it doesn't work for you, or maybe we could just do dinner with your parents on Sundays, but the rest of the day could be like our time, you know, that's like half of the weekend. Mm-hmm. Or like, maybe it's about like the mail being sent to his parents' house. You'd say, have you ever thought about like changing your mailing address to our address since we now live together
that
and are going to be married?
And he like, that needs to be done.
Yeah, I think you could say like it kind of makes me feel like we're not like living this like adult. You, and again, make it about your feelings. You could say it kind of makes me feel like we're not necessarily living this like adult independent lifestyle when your mail is still going to your parents' house. So like I would love if we could take some steps like that to sort of just like make sure we're living our own life and doing our own thing. And I love and just preempt that with like, I love your parents. I love that you're so close to them. And I love spending time with them. But I also enjoy like kind of having the independence of an independent couple and like starting our own traditions, which we can invite them to or do. But I just want to make sure that like we're thinking of ourselves as like our primary family or our primary unit and like doing things to strengthen our bond while also maintaining that relationship. And again, like just make it about like the specific things that are bothering you about this relationship and not about the relationship as a whole, because it sounds like, again, it sounds like nice, like he clearly like values his parents a lot and values that relationship, which is good. But if it's affecting you, you have every right to say that and ask him to do specific things. Because if you're like, you spend too much time with your parents, that's going to be like, what is he supposed to do with that? If you're like, I would like to do something on Sundays during the day, that's just the two of us, that's a more specific thing than he can agree to.
Right. It also just like makes me think, and first of all, literally follow that advice Jordana just said, because you slayed that. Do exactly that. I'm like, I feel like it's hard for me to be as rational, and people are probably going to come for me for this, but whatever. It's hard for me to be as rational for this because at least my parents always raised me to just be super independent. Like my mom was like, literally like, go off to college or else you will be unhappy. Like, I don't know. And I truly like, I just can't relate to somebody who's this dependent on their parents. As mean as that sounds, right. I don't know. I'm too lazy to like try to make it sound nicer.
It sounds like this guy wouldn't be a good match for you.
No.
But like maybe there's parts of that that she finds endearing or it doesn't bother her as much. But I totally get that. I can see like I'm also my parents are also divorced. And like I think I've become a little more independent through that, or like didn't really have the like crux. And I agree, it's like a little bit of jealousy, it's a little bit of like, I don't understand this dynamic, it doesn't like make sense to me why like your mom would be doing your laundry, but I can also like understand that like that's just, some people have different experiences. But like if they're engaged, I assume that doesn't bother her that much, because I assume this has been something he's been doing since the beginning. And you've known this about him the whole time, so like, again, I wouldn't go into it like blaming him, because I feel like this is always who he's been and you chose him. So just go through like the specific things that you can express would make you happier if he like tweaked a bit.
Right. And when all in all, not to get all Jesus-like on us, but kindness is the most important thing. I'm just laughing at myself saying that. But and she said, his parents are so sweet and kind and I love them. And that's, I'm really glad she said that, because that really is most important. Like this would all be a larger issue if like his parents were like mean people on top of all of this, you know?
Yeah. That's what you want in in-laws. And I think long-term, if you're thinking about like dropping your kids off to be babysat, like you're going to be happy about that. Like there will be a lot of perks that you probably don't even realize.
That's a good litmus test for good in-laws.
Definitely. Let's do some unpopular opinions.
Let's do it. We love unpopular opinions. The first one, bridesmaids need to stop wearing the same dress.
Now, does this mean the same color or the same exact dress?
Same exact. I clarified. So like same color,
I agree.
And style. You agree?
I agree. I like the same color scheme, I think is like fine, or exact color, doable, a little annoying, but doable, especially if it's not black. But same dress. I don't think everyone needs to wear the same exact dress. I agree. What do you think?
I agree as well. And I get that like this wasn't the same thing like 10 years ago. I feel like it was every bridesmaid wore the same exact color and style dress. And some people still do that and they like the more uniform look and that's fine. I think I agree. All my bridesmaids are wearing black. They're doing three different styles, which looking back, I kind of wish I just told them to just pick a black dress and whatever style, but I have 9 people doing
black is the best.
Black is the best because they can rewear it, you know?
There's also like everyone has a black dress they could probably use.
Exactly, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I wish I could do black, but I'm having like, because I'm having the beach wedding, I don't think I can do black, but I really otherwise like it would just sounds like the easiest option. I wish I could do it.
I could see you doing like a cool like blue. Is that what you're doing or no?
I haven't decided yet. I'm thinking, see, the thing is I really want to do like champagne color, but I don't want everyone to hate me because it's so specific.
No, no, you would think that, but also you know what I mean? People will be, I do know what you mean. And if you were having like a winter wedding and being like champagne, I would hate you because I would blend in, my skin personally would blend into the dress. I think people right. like champagne neutrals for like, that was my second choice instead of black. I think people like that for really? Like a beachy summer wedding. Yeah. And also because like you're having a wedding in Mexico, they can get a tan, look good in it.
I haven't fully decided yet, but like I kind of feel like I'm imagining myself having to get a champagne dress and being like, fuck that bitch. I can't believe she's making me get a champagne dress. Like it's so specific. But thinking seriously about it, my backup is like blush, which I think is a little easier.
We do like that.
But I don't know if I have like a blush vibe.
I like champagne.
I like champagne too, but like I can just imagine people like thinking I'm really annoying. So I'm debating it. We'll see. We'll see how annoying I decide to be. I've still got like a little bit to decide.
Yeah. But it's funny because the audience, 57% agreed with this, that bridesmaids need to stop wearing the same exact dress, and 43% disagreed. So
I think that trend is like here to stay of like the different dresses.
Mismatched.
Okay. Watching someone unwrap gifts at a bridal shower is so boring. What do you think?
I agree. I do. Even though my my sister made us all, she had, this was forever ago, but 75 people at her bridal shower. We all like sat there and watched her. She would hate me if she heard this. But it was literally, I was like, come on, this is stupid. Like, it is boring. What about you?
Yeah, no one wants to do that. Same with a baby shower.
Yeah.
For anyone who's had a baby shower also. Like, no one wants to watch you opening any gifts ever at anything.
I will say.
I totally agree.
For the people that disagree, it is nice not a bride yet, who's like building out my registry and stuff, to see what other people are getting. That's kind of fun because then you get ideas for your own registry for your bridal shower, baby shower. So I feel like if people like it, that might be why.
Is the bridal shower registry different than the wedding registry?
No, I don't think so. But I'm planning on just having.
So isn't it like the same stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, true. And I guess you can also just see that online anyways. But I'm saying like in person, like when I went to my sister's and she did open the gifts, I just remember like taking mental notes and seeing her open gifts in person and being like, oh, I'd want that one day, or I wouldn't want that one day, that kind of thing.
Right.
Which was like,
here's fun. The thing though.
Quote.
I never wanted, I've seen like people like, you have to like unwrap the lingerie. Like, I don't want to watch you like unwrap lingerie ew. From like your great aunt for your wedding night. Like, it's very uncomfortable. I don't like it at all.
No. So yeah, 85% of people agreed with this. So
nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Should we do one more?
Yes.
The audience is in agreement with us.
Let's do it. There shouldn't be a flower girl or ring bearer.
Disagree. I think it's cute.
The exact same thing. I was like, what? I love this. I love watching the little flower girl and ring bearer walk down the aisle. I love kids.
I think if you have them in your family, it's like adorable. I wouldn't say it's like a necessity. Like if I didn't have any small like nieces or nephews, I'd be like, we can skip this part. But I think if you have them, it's like adorable. Like, why not? And then they can leave after.
Same. And I love the weddings when something funny happens. Yeah, exactly. They can leave for the reception.
Yeah.
I love the weddings when like they're funny, when they like fall, or not fall, but like intentionally like crawl down the aisle, or something funny happens with one of them.
Yeah,
or there's
like confused.
The ring bearer. Yeah. I think it adds a little fun to the ceremony that we all love. But this is an interesting one because the audience said 50-50. They couldn't decide.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Who knew that everyone hated the flower girls and ring bearers so much?
That's what I said. I was like, wow, you guys are really hating old wedding traditions, aren't you? Which brings us to a teaser for an upcoming episode we are officially having the history behind wedding customs episode, which I'm so excited about. We're having experts on to talk about that. So maybe we'll find out the history behind a ring bearer and flower girl.
That'll be awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. Guys, if you have any questions for us, or if you have any other unpopular opinions, email them to brides@betches.com or DM them to @betchesbrides on Instagram. But I think email is probably the best place for us. Thank you guys so much for writing in. We love doing these emails. Please keep sending them in. Please rate us 5 stars on Apple? iTunes?
Apple.
Mm-hmm. Apple. Yeah. Listen to us anywhere. Tell a friend. And we will see you next week. Till death do us part.
Betches.